Welcome to Wellness Spring. In this enlightening episode, we are joined by Alicia Pista Sophia, mystic, author, and renowned teacher on the Shift Network, devoted to reviving the sacred techniques of Saint Mary Magdalene. Born in England to a lively Irish Catholic father and an earthy pagan mother, Alicia embodies the dance of the opposites, heaven and earth, faith and freedom. Now living in the mystical French Pyrenees, she opens a gateway into the ancient wisdom, the divine feminine, and the mysteries that flow through the land she calls home. So tune in for some inspiration. Welcome, Alicia, to Wellness Spring. It's so lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Beverly. So good to meet you.
Yeah, and I'm amazed that we got quite a few friends in common, and I'm disappointed that I didn't get to meet you live in France when I was living there, because you have so much to share and your story is amazing. So I think without further ado, we'll just delve straight in, because everybody loves a good story, as you know, and yours is remarkable. And would you like to start by telling the listeners where you were born, where you grew up, and, you know, how was your journey?
I was born in England to a very typical British English Rose and a very lively Irish father. One was quite religious, that was my dad, Catholic, and my mum was more pagan of the earth. So I had this wonderful tapestry of opposites playing out all around me, which made me who I am for sure. Where I live now is in the French Pyrenees, renowned for its Cathar history, visits by Mary Magdalene, maybe other members of the Holy Family. And I came to this region about 25 years ago and was snatched. That's the only word that describes it accurately.
Wow.
Snatched by the power of the Pyrenees. And I haven't really ventured too far from this region all this time. And of course, in the last 4 years, myself, my mum, and my husband, Pete, we bought this enormous property with land like yourselves, but nowhere near as much, but enough land for us to have an animal sanctuary. And we run this house. We call it a bed and breakfast. It's not really. It's a wonderful kaleidoscope of people gathering, news being shared, practices being shared. And like you, we have our own water source, which is famous for its dragons, dragon wing.
Oh, wow.
So I'm doing everything I can to get up to scratch on my awareness of dragons and what they could be representing and what would it mean for their return today, even though I can't see anything, but I can, like many of us, most certainly feel there is indeed a certain presence in the water that's around here.
Wow. Well, I was born just across the border from you in Wales. So obviously, the Welsh dragon is our emblem on our flag. And I absolutely love dragons and often play with them. And you unpacked quite a bit. But with your schooling, what did you study and how did you get on your spiritual pathway?
Well, I've always been a body person. So I spent 15 years learning as much as I could in the tradition of Kundalini yoga. And I was living in London and I was invited to teach at some very prestigious places. So that was quite an eventful period of my life. And then I needed more experience and information and exploration of the second chakra or the spiritual sexual force. And I was not really getting those answers in that tradition. Kundalini yoga is really about light, heart, and ascension. But I needed to go down. I needed a descension path. I needed to unpack the powers of the womb, although I didn't realize it. I just sensed I needed to go on that journey. So I had to peel off from the Kundalini yoga community, and I had nowhere to peel off into. So I began my own practices. I began my own research, and I was getting some answers through somatic, so through movement only, not really books. I was reading, but I would read and then I would move. And I would get understandings through movement. My favorite topics at that time was ancient Egypt, especially Isis,
Wow.
and especially the relationship between Isis and Osiris. And then I pulled back and went, hang on a minute. Everyone in the Egyptian pantheon has its consort, its counterpart. All the gods and goddesses had a union with another god or goddesses. They were working in pairs. So that interested me. And it wasn't long before ancient Greece led me to the Holy Land. And again, looking at this same model, Jesus Christ, Mary Magdalene, the disciples, two by two, looking closely and realizing these two by two disciples were not pairs of men. They were a man and a woman, maybe a brother sister love. And this got me interested. And so I began a physical journey. So off I go to Egypt, Sinai Desert, Cairo, the Nile. Off I go to the Holy Land and doing all this bodily movement again on the sites. So on the sacred and holy sites, just allowing the body to move quite freely in these locations. And all sorts of insights are sort of popping up in my imagination, and I'm writing them down and I'm contemplating them further. And so this whole body, literally, a whole body of wisdom came through, and I started to write books about it.
Wow. And what do you see in view of the rise of feminine spirituality right now and the reclamation of Mary Magdalene intersecting with current global movements, for example, ecological activism, women's leadership?
There's no denying now, is there, that there is a revival
No.
underway. Mary Magdalene is having her day. I believe
Yeah.
this is the second coming, really and absolutely, and no doubt for me there. This is what was prophesied. I notice here in France, there's three things rising up in our awareness. There's the revival of the sacred feminine and her appearance in this world. There's
Yeah.
also running parallel to that an ever-growing awareness of water and our desire to tend to the waters, to create ceremony and ritual around the waters, as well as a very practical and physical cleaning up of the waters, all waters, lakes, rivers, wells, springs, oceans. And also our new friend, AI. You might say, what? That has nothing to do with this sacred feminine revival. And I feel that it has. I feel that it has. And Maybe it's humongous wishful thinking, but I don't care. I'm going with it. Water is being used to hold AI. A lot of water is needed to cool the systems. I'm not very technologically savvy with the right words to describe it, so I'm just going to say systems. Computers.
Yeah.
I feel that one of our jobs of being a vessel of the sacred feminine is to bring, I don't know what the word is, to bring what is needed to the element of water. Because wherever we are, our local water will eventually meet the water that's holding the AI, that's cooling its systems. And that there can be a very flourishing, harmonious, beautifully intelligent relationship coming underway because the intelligence of the water is going to be holding our new friend gracefully, making sure we all of us, every single life form, we all head off in the good direction.
That's amazing that you mentioned that because I've interviewed Dr. Gerald Pollack, who's the world number one leading water scientist, and he's been researching that water is water consciousness, and he's about to publish his new book soon called Charged. And yeah, I think because he's very analytical, I also introduced him to a friend of mine, Jas Mahin, who's the longest living breatharian in the world at the moment. And it was a very interesting conversation because, like us, she downloads her information and she also puts it into practice. So if something works, then it works, you know, and she trusts her divine guidance. But being a scientist, he needs the proof. So I think his findings are going to be very interesting. And yeah, because also I know that computers do need a lot of water. And we are 70% water in our physical body, and some scientists are saying more. And also in the land, you know, it's 70%. So I don't think it's any coincidence because it's like, you know, as within, so without. And I would like you to delve in a bit more about your story about your property because you only touched on the water and touched on the animals, and I know there's a sacred message behind it. And I did read that you go for a walk with your 33 goats every day.
That is correct. So
Yeah.
this property is just underneath the Château de Montségur, which is quite famous for sheltering a large section of the Parfait Cathar community, the holy men and women during Crusade times, medieval times. There was a prophecy spoken in 1321, saying in 700 years we shall return, which brings it to 2021, which is when we bought the place. So whether I am of
Wow.
that lineage or not, I'm not really, I don't spend hardly any consciousness delving into my past lives. I'm way too focused on this present one. So whether I am or whether I am not part of the ancient Cathar lineage, here I am now buying this property in 2021 and putting it on the map as a place of sacred refuge for all of life and doing my utmost to live by that Cathar beauty and grace. It has many water sources, not just one, quite a few, and rivers everywhere. So it's a very watery place. Used to be a water mill, actually, back in the 13th
Oh, wow.
century. And Because of my great interest in, not interest, as my great passion and love and longing of the sacred feminine, and to really establish her presence in a very obvious way in response to what else is happening on the world stage, many people are coming to spend time here. And we're all working with the water. We're praying over the water. We're singing. We're dancing. We're baptizing in the old way of Mary Magdalene, the rite of the five seals. There's also a local story that says the Cathars had some kind of original manuscript up at Monsegur, and it was used in the Consolamentum, which is a Cathar ritual to cleanse the person completely of any error, any little mistakes we may have made, and to put them in a state of grace alongside the Holy Spirit. And this book was placed on the heads of those people in that ritual. So when the Crusaders were around at Monsegur, a few items were taken to safety. And the local tale is that the Book of Love was placed in our water, which would have been a water mill at that time, which made bread. So I'm thinking to myself, now that I'm a little bit more aware of water, thanks to Vader Austin, really need to drop that name in for a minute. Vader Austin, news. So if the Book of Love went into the water, we know, as you said, water holds memory. The Book of Love could well have been written by Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene in the same codex. So that's quite something. It's dropped into the water. It's now spreading around the region, making its way to the Canal du Midi, which crosses into the Mediterranean and the Atlantic. So now it's really going out there, as well as all the local people and animals, fish and birds, drinking it as its water source. But just in case they missed it in the water, because this area is a water mill, it's going into the bread. So no one can not partake of the message. So I'm thinking of that Cathar, that parfait that may have dropped it in this water. It's a genius move to make, because not only are you leaving it behind, you're putting it in the bread and the water of this region. Everybody gets to partake of the Book of Love. So us ladies and a few gents every now and again are doing everything we can to revive this possible presence that's in the water. And of course, this place is just looking and feeling more and more and more beautiful as the days pass. I'm like
Oh
this,
my goodness.
wow, what on earth is going on around here? It's
I
quite
can't wait
tangible.
to visit.
Yes.
And even just when you talk about it, your whole body lightens up and you can feel that magical energy. And like you say, lots of women are waking up now and you also mentioned the presence of Mary Magdalene. Like, I was blessed to go to her cave, the Yoni, the egg cave, as some people call it,
Yes.
where she allegedly lived for 30 years in Saint Bom. And each time that I've had a vision of her, it's so real. With a friend the first two times, and then my partner and a different friend the third time. And we all got amazing, profound messages. And, you know, it's all to do with self-love and being ready for that change and embracing the change and helping people through, because this is the way forward where, as you were saying, it's happening with everybody. And what a great way that, the word is being spread through the water.
Yes. Water, movement, language. art, fragrance
Exactly.
making, oils.
Yeah, I'm an aromatherapist, so I'd be keen to hear about the sacred oils that you use in your ceremonies. And maybe you can tell us about the wonderful work that you do, that because I know you have many workshops throughout the year.
Yes, I like to provide a space where men and women can drop in and say, I wonder if I also worked with the oils in some way, because there are some wonderful pockets and places in life currently where we could really do with that medicine again. I'm thinking death and dying. So I lost my amazing father 4.5 years ago, and mum had a little skirmish about a month ago, but she's fine. She's still here living with us. Phew. And I realized, because I'm traveling the path of my dad leaving us through the hospital system and the medical system, and I am gobsmacked at the non-sacredness of the journey. Luckily, I had a little bit of awareness and a little bit of wisdom of how to bring the oils to him in his hospital bed. But I must confess, because it was the first person I loved so much to slip away from me, my adult self left the building. And my distraught child stepped in. So I wasn't as attentive and as graceful as I had hoped I would be, but I did manage a few moments of holding it together and placing a very dignified oil ceremony over my dad's hands, feet, and forehead. And I realized, wow, my goodness. And I know ladies are doing it. Felicity Warner, Sacred Oils, a great woman. She's doing something called soul midwifery. So, yes, it is filling up. It is filling up with women and men bringing the sacredness of the passageway through the dying process and then eventually gracefully stepping into death itself and the aftermath. It doesn't just end. That's another weird thing that our society tells us. It's like, okay, the person has died. Right, let's call and organize the funeral. Back in ancient times, there'd be some flipping space. Just leave the person alone. Let there be at least 3 days where no one, you're not fretting. They're resting. They're in a state of rest. They're resting in peace. And I think that's really important. That magical number again, those 3 days, 3 nights, where you're honoring what's just happened and you're not going into organizing and managing the details of a funeral. That's what we had to do because it was COVID. So, Dad, thankfully, he had 5 days and 5 nights resting in our chapel. I forgot to mention this place has a chapel, Notre Dame de Sophia, Our Lady of Wisdom. So, my beautiful dad's body was
Wow.
just resting. And I got to be with him whenever I felt the courage to walk in
Yeah.
because I didn't want to see it. I did not want to see that body laying there, but I had to. And I had to see, my goodness, there's a great big gaping hole where the ceremony of death and dying needs to be filled up again.
I totally agree with you because I've recently lost my father-in-law, and we nearly lost my mother-in-law, and I've lost my sister-in-law. And it's just been, I'm saying lost, but I know they're still here. They've just transformed. You know, I say to people, you know, my belief is we are spirit beings in a physical body. Just come here for a holiday and learn the lessons we need to. So there's no beginning, no end. We just transform. However, like you just explained, we are still a human being, And it's missing that physicality, that physical person. And I just find it all so cold and callous. Like, I started my career as a registered nurse, and I was horrified that the way people were treated, and nobody knew how to speak to the visitors and the relatives and so forth. And it was very clinical, and okay, he's dead or she's dead, and let's wash them and get them out here and so forth. And it hasn't changed. It's been heartbreaking, both in Australia and in Wales to witness this. And as you're saying, let's honor that soul. Let's honor their presence and celebrate their life here and their time here. And yeah. And you mentioned Greek earlier, and I'm fascinated by names, and I know your name is part of it anyway from Greek origin. So would you like to pronounce your name and say your full name and say what it's about?
Absolutely. So my full name is Aletheia Pistis Sophia. Three carefully chosen words as gentle reminders of this is where I would love to eventually embody. Aletheia is a revealing truth. It's a truth that never was lost. It was just slightly hidden. There's a gentleness about it, so that reminds me of feminine, but it is truth after all, and it won't shy away, it won't minimize, it won't veil or cover the truth. Pistis, okay, all three words are the Greek, ancient Greek. Pistis is faith, but it's not a faith like hope. It is an active faith. It's not like, okay, I'm just going to be faithful and do some praying. It's constant. It's a constant faithfulness. And Sophia is wisdom. So truth, faith, wisdom. That's the name I have given myself. I also love everything to do with ancient Greece. The whole
Beautiful.
way of life, all the ceremony, all the ritual, and how, again, it was an era where sacred feminine values were predominant. There was no such thing as capitalism in the beginning, money, working, structure, control, dominance. This was all kind of secondary. Beauty, the arts, poetry, grace, elegance, philosophy, Sophia, wisdom. These were all directions to head for throughout the course of your day for everybody. Wow. So, yes, love that era.
Well, we all need lots of truth, wisdom, and faith, as you're saying. And, there's something special about the ancients that we can learn from and embrace. And you mentioned community. And as I've been traveling for 4 years in a camper van around Australia, and we've met lots of people who have communities, and then others who are so sad and lonely and lost, and they haven't found their tribe. What can you say to those people? Because I know it's global.
Well, one of the things I've been studying recently is all the different diverse nuances we're now becoming aware of with our mind. You know, the diversity, all these new conditions, they were always there. They've just got names now. So there's one called touch defense, deficiency, touch deficiency. So it is now official that if we do not have physical touch or companionship or sense of community, it disturbs the mind greatly. And perhaps we didn't realize now just how much discomfort that brings. So it is important to be able to connect with others. This could be creatures, this could be animals, hence the 33 goats. This could be trees, this could be flowers, meadows, forests, woodland. It is extremely dangerous to spend our time indoors looking at that television screen or computer screen. Yes, there is a little bit of connection with others, and this is great, but we really do, as a state of health emergency, we really do need to go outside and meet something else with life force in it, whether it be an animal, a body of water, a meadow, a forest, better still, a bunch of humans, and put at the top of our value system connectivity, community, intimacy. And you can even start with yourself. And that's often how I start my day, movement and touch. And from that, lots of comfort, consolation, depth, less anxiety, more trust, more presence, more availability appears.
Yeah, I think, a lot of people have gone into overwhelm, because partly because of digital and the COVID lockdown and many other things, and feeling of isolation. So people, even the Dalai Lama said a lot of people are getting stressed, especially young people. You go to bed looking at Facebook and seeing how many people have ticked like, and then you wake. If people haven't, you're comparing yourself to other people, their posts and so forth. You don't sleep pr properly because it takes about 2 hours to switch off. And then you wake up, and instead of waking up naturally, you've got an alarm, and then you're straight on your phone instead of taking your time, having your shower, being present, and just being in nature, like you're saying, and touching. I know when I was nursing, they used to say, it's so important when the baby's born to touch it, and give it to the mother so they can feel that connection. And I believe dogs, if they're not licked, the puppies when they're born, they often die very young because they need that connection. But yeah, and as you said as well, there is positivity with digital world as well. And obviously, you're big on the computers because I saw that you do a lot of work with the Thrive Network and Shift Network, I should say. And I was going to ask you about your courses there, and how did you begin those courses? How did they contact you? What work you're doing with them? Because I'm sure the listeners would love to know.
Well, I've just finished one this spring called Mary Magdalene's Sacred Journey Through France. And it was 7 episodes and it was like 7 locations. So rather than just go blah, 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 fill the people's head with knowledge, I used the art of storytelling and somatic experience. So I was asking them to use items as they're listening and to bring the story alive, bring Saint Baume alive, enter the cave, feel, smell the muskiness, feel the dampness that's in the air, the burning of the spikenard, the flickering of the candle, making you imagine, oh my God, I think there's someone standing at the back of the cave. So, using social media to actually send a embodied experience. So that's how I mostly work. I want the imagination to fire right up, all the superpowers of the imagination and all the senses that are active and dormant. I've got another one coming up 5th of November, called Mary Magdalene's Somatic Sacraments. So a sacrament is a ritual or a gesture that imparts divine grace from one to another. This one's 16 weeks, 4 months. Oh my God.
Wow.
4 months of delivering, listening to Our Lady in this moment, not who she was, not what has already appeared in her repertoire, her portfolio, but sitting on the edge right here in this threshold, beloved Lady Mary Magdalene, what is a somatic sacrament that can be put to word and delivered to the other folks listening that they can receive and then give to their community? That is the vision. That is
Wow.
what I'm hoping is going to happen.
I'm sure it will. Like you said, if you can imagine it, our subconscious doesn't know the difference between real or imagined. And I know, from friends telling me about your workshops that they're truly remarkable and life-changing. So, it sounds amazing. I might have to do it myself. So for people like myself who live overseas, I'm saying live overseas, I'm in a different time zone to you. Will there be recordings?
It's a live happening, but there are recordings within 48 hours. And it's
Wow.
not time relevant. I know folks like to be on the live because of the energy, but I think it's been recorded. I honestly do think when you press play, it's waiting for you. It's going to come through your screen. Not really sure there's anything more that's received in the live because it's a packet of wisdom, it's a packet of Sophia. She's just gonna come when it's your moment.
Yeah, it's like watching movies. You could watch them 10 times and it could be like 50 first dates. You see something for the first time each time. But when it resonates for you, it's the same as reading a book. You might struggle, but then it jumps out. So, talking about imagination, what role do dreams and symbols or visions play in your work, and have there been any recent ones that have deeply moved you?
I did have a very interesting dream 2 nights ago. I dreamt I was here in France and I found a channel of water in a canal, a small channel of water, and it had like stone or concrete edges, which made me think, ah, this canal is man-made. So I started to follow where it was coming from. And I came to like a little natural dead end. It was an open cave, and there was definitely a sense of a threshold. And I reached this threshold, not knowing if I could go right to the source. And then a man appeared, and he was a bit like Francis of Assisi. He was a religious man, he was a holy Christian man. And I got a sense that he was a hermit and he was guarding the source. And he gave me the impression, he didn't say, gave me the impression, you can't come here because you're like a lay person and I'm a religious holy hermit. And I was okay with that. So I just stood on the sore on the threshold. And he said, would you like me to pray for you? And I went, oh yes, please, definitely. So he came to the threshold, and I think I put my hands up like this. And he was okay with that. So he touched my hands. But then it turned into a little bit of an embrace. And once our chests and our tummies touched, now I was bringing a feminine prayer to him. I was praying for him and I was receiving his prayer, and I could see the goodness of his holy prayer. So mine was coming in, and I was like, oh, thank you. A Francis of Assisi hermit is praying for me. This is amazing. But my embodied feminine prayer was going into him, which took him by surprise. And he was like, oh. And I was saying, it's okay, brother. You can trust this. Just go with it. Just go with it. I assure you, nothing untoward is going to happen. Just let it flow through you. And that was the end of the dream.
Oh my goodness, what a
I know.
profound dream. And what do you make of that?
It was very holy, it was very religious, and perhaps an element of religion that was forbidden to meet what's coming through me met. And there was no competition and there was no war. It met, and both prayers were able to swim alongside each other. And his was welcomed. And I believe mine was welcomed, and there was wholeness. It
Wow.
was brother, sister, love.
Yeah, this is what the whole world needs, and wholeness, remembering that we are part of the whole. And because you've mentioned your courses with Mary Magdalene, would you like to share with us how you first connected with Mary Magdalene? Because obviously it's very profound.
Well, I've always prayed to Jesus. My father, I think I said at the beginning, he was a Catholic. Occasionally he would take me to the Catholic Church, and I didn't like it much. It felt very heavy and quite frightening. But I did love the images of Jesus, and I definitely liked being blessed. I remember I wasn't able to receive the communion, but the priest blessed me. And I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit come in, and I wanted more of that. I forgot. What was the
How did your deep connection with Saint
Thank
Mary
you.
Magdalene start?
Thank you. So from those blessings, I began to pray every single day. I would say from the age of 12 onwards, all through my crazy, wild teenage years, into my 20s, 30s, 40s, and now 50s. So I've always had a deep connection with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus, the person, and then later in life, the Christ. So one time, just before the year 2000, I was sat on Rodine Beach, near Brighton, scribbling away in my journal, and in my Jesus place, in my, whether it's my heart or my head, I don't know, but the place I go to hear his voice, in pops another voice that says, if you really want to know me, you must come to France. And I went, oh, it's my Jesus place, but it doesn't sound like him, but it's awfully similar. Anyway, within a few weeks, I was called to Rennes-le-Château, of all places, to teach a yoga retreat because the teacher had fallen sick. So that brought me right here. And it wasn't long before Mary Magdalene was being spoken about. The Cathars, again, didn't know any of this. And the whole history began to wrap itself around me. And then I realized this was Mary Magdalene. It sounded so close to Jesus because of the closeness they had, but I didn't know any of this at that time. And so my little Harrison Ford journey began.
That's amazing. And I also love the way that the French people truly love Mary Magdalene. Like, I haven't been to her feast day on July the 22nd, by the Basilica in Saint-Maximin de Baume. Have you been there?
Yes, absolutely. I was in tears for the reverence
Oh.
priests have for her.
Yes.
Every time they walked past a relic, they would bow to the floor, they would bow to their knee, they'd drop to their knee, and
Wow.
they'd bow their head every single time they passed her relics.
That's incredible. And I believe that they take her relics out her skull, and I think it's a humerus
That's
around
right.
the street and parade it. And it's just
Absolutely.
magical that millions of people go there, and it's so beautiful. I just love being in the basilica as well, and everywhere, in the forest there, where she's got the chapel on top of the hill, and then the big cave, and then the Uni, as I mentioned. And yeah, you talk about Mary Magdalene, and the French people really open up their hearts. It's so
Yeah.
wonderful.
Yes, yes,
So
yes. Yeah.
what is next for you? Because you obviously got this remarkable connection with Mary Magdalene and soon to be the dragons.
Next is going to be this course with the shift in November. I
Great.
have to deepen my ability to listen and sense what the Holy Sophia, should she be speaking, wants to deliver in this next course, these somatic sacraments. And as I said, present here now wisdom, not what has been, what's needed right now, totally accessible, totally able to be given out into community. Women and men will feel, yeah, I can do this. It's a reach, it's half a step more than I've ever been, but it's possible that they will get off the call and within days go, right, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to gesture out into the community. I'm really going to act on behalf of that holy wisdom, just like Mary did. So I got to find the energy, I got to find the words, I got to find the way. So I need to get very quiet and very to be able to listen.
Yeah,
It's a big one, 4 months worth.
I'm sure you'll be on a roll once you start, because you're such an incredible channel. The messages will flow and embody you, and once you start that somatic movement, I feel as if I'm there on the course with you. So I'm sure the guests, the listeners will feel the same. So I'll share your website with the notes, but what's the best way that people could get hold of you and register for this course?
Well, just put my name into Google, into any search engine, really, and you'll find my website probably quite close to the top. I'm quite active on Facebook and Instagram. That's all. Yes, you'll find me, dear friends. You'll find me.
Wonderful. And I always ask my guests, if there's one thing you could do or change to make our world a better place to live in, what would it be?
Clean up your local spring or well.
Yay!
Find out where your body of water is. And just do a little cleanup. Start off with physical, rubbish, plastic bags that might be in there. And then once it's actually free of debris, then start bringing in some prayer, please.
Oh, that's beautiful. And like you hinted on Dr. Emoto earlier with the messages in the water and Vader Austin, and it's lovely that she's taking that work to, instead of the science, looking it at through your phone, because I've done some work with her and taken lots of pictures of the water samples. So it's really, really beautiful. And because you mentioned a spring, my show is called Wellness Spring. What is your wellness go-to, something that you have to do every day, whether it's physical, mental, emotional?
Move. I have to move every day with beautiful, exquisite pieces of music.
Fantastic.
Yes.
And on that note, I would like you to thank you for giving up your precious time and sharing your heart and your wisdom and your journey with us today. And your message of truth, faith, and wisdom, as I said, is exactly what the world needs today. So keep shining. Thank you.
Thank you, Beverly. Thank you so much.